Lieutenant Governor, our constitutional officers, and all of our distinguished guests from the judiciary. We're going to ask that all members in the chambers and in the gallery to please take their seat. We're going to be starting momentarily.
Let me ask everyone to please take their seats. Please take your seats. Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to California's annual State of the Judiciary. I'm Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounalakis. I have been asked by the Senate Pro Tem to begin this morning with an acknowledgement and a moment of silence for the tragedy last weekend in New Zealand. Please join me in a moment of silence. All right, thank you. Let's get started. Senators Galgiani, Roth, Rubio, and Assembly Members Quirk Silva, Murrazucci, and Holden, please go to the back of the chambers to escort Governor Newsom to the rostrum. Please escort the governor to the rostrum. I think I join everyone here in thanking you and recognizing the honor of your presence here today, Governor. Thank you. Senators Jackson, Borges, Mitchell, Assembly Members Mark Stone, Gonzalez, and Cervantes, please go to the back of the chambers to escort the Chief Justice to the rostrum. Please escort the Chief Justice to the rostrum. Madam Senator Pro Tem, I am very grateful and honored to be here with all of you today. I'm especially grateful for the opportunity to add my voice to the chorus of those who today will recognize the importance of a just, fair, efficient, accessible, and above all, independent judiciary to a strong and healthy democracy. When I served overseas representing our country, I often spoke about American democracy and what has allowed it to endure for well over two centuries, the longest and strongest democracy in history. And I found myself repeating a common refrain: democracy is always a work in progress. For our country and for any country, an enduring democracy must possess the ability to adapt and modernize, to be nimble and responsive to changing times while adhering to time-tested principles. Finding the balance requires hard work, sometimes messy, sometimes conflict-filled, but always in the interest of building a better, stronger system for the next generation and future generations to come. So again, it is a great honor to be here, and it is my privilege to welcome the Speaker of the Assembly, the Honorable Anthony Rendon. Thank you.
Thank you. It is a privilege to be here today for the Chief Justice's annual address on the state of California's judiciary. Just a few days ago, our courageous governor stood outside of these doors and made a momentous announcement about justice in California. Governor Newsom had the portrait of one of his predecessors, Earl Warren, over his shoulder. As Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, Earl Warren was also one of the state's most illustrious members of the judiciary. It is a reminder that whether we take our bold steps to the future as the executives, justices, or legislators, we are part of the continuum of history. Now it is my honor to introduce one of our current bold legislative leaders, my friend and colleague, the President Pro Tem, Tony Atkins.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, colleagues. Welcome to our distinguished guests, our friends and family members here. I want to acknowledge and welcome the elected officials present today, the representatives of the legal community, including the State Bar and the Judicial Council. Mr. Governor, thank you so much for the honor of your presence here today. Today's proceedings is more than tradition or symbolism. That each branch of state government comes together as we are here today and yet remains distinct and sovereign in its own right. It is the foundation of our democracy. It is the essential precaution in favor of liberty, as Madison wrote in the Federalist 47, because the accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary, in the same hands is the very definition of tyranny. Today, we renew our commitment to that essential precaution. We are respectfully together and yet proudly distinct. With that, it is my great pleasure to introduce California's Supreme Court Justices, Ming Chen. Carol Corrigan. Goodwin Liu. Mariano Florentino Cuellar. Leandra Kruger. And Joshua Groban. She is the first Asian Filipina American, the second woman to serve as the state's Chief Justice. Please join me in welcoming the Chief Justice of the California Supreme Court, Tani Cantil Sacoue. Thank you. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Kunalakis, President Pro Tem Atkins, and Speaker Rendon for those introductions. And thank you, Governor, for being here. You honor us with your presence. I am thankful to be here with my colleagues from the Supreme Court and also members of the judiciary, including the Judicial Council, Bench Bar Coalition, and Open Courts Coalition. I'm grateful that some of my beloved family members are here, my husband Mark, my in-laws, Jiro and Dorothy, my sister-in-law, Vicky, and friends. The motto of the Senate is to guard the liberty of the people. This motto is in accord with the constitutional democracy that Lincoln envisioned, with a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Our California three branches of government strive to put the people's rights, protections, and freedoms first. Even with our distinct roles and different powers and the necessary checks and balances of good government, we all are guardians of the people's liberty. Each generation endeavors to change the present for the future. Case in point, we are approaching the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment giving women the right to vote. Generations fought for this right, and its import cannot be overstated, because the right to vote is the right to choose. It's the right to participate, and it's the right to be heard. All are necessary elements if we are to exercise our birthright to justice. Many of us are here today because of the sacrifice and determinations of those past generations. So today, in speaking to you about the state of the judiciary, I start with the fact that about one-third of our justices and judges are relatively new to their positions. Thanks to Governor Brown, who breathed new life into the judiciary with 600-plus judicial appointments, 200 of those in his final year. In the last year, these new appointees self-report that 41% are non-white, and over half of these appointments are female. This is to let you know that the judiciary now is more representative of the communities we serve in every way. We've also made progress with your help because we are more focused on our goals and our plans, and we have what we call Access 3D, a vision for access to justice, that access to justice be three-dimensional. One, of course, that it be physical for your day in court. Two, to be remote or online so you can access information and tools and knowledge. And three, that it be equal access. So physical access is, of course, courtrooms and courthouses. With your help, we maintain over 500 courthouses in California, and we are constructing 10 new safe and secure courthouses in the local communities we serve. Remote access means online access. It means you may conduct your legal business via an app or a video for those who choose to do so. Thanks to your funding of our innovative grant program, local courts serve as incubators for over 50 new projects that includes new technology so that we may eventually test this new technology and use it statewide. This new technology includes things like a mobile app, a multilingual self-help website, avatar guides, video hearings, and video remote interpreters. These grants allow the judiciary to prototype and beta test these new programs and new policies and new projects so that we can replicate them statewide for other courts. Because improving online access to justice makes sense in California, many Californians expect this kind of service from their courts. Yet we must always remember and understand that technology can only take us so far. Justice will always require a human touch. We will always need judges and court staff and lawyers to listen to people in crisis, to guide them, and to help them resolve their disputes. An estimated 4.5 million people come to court each year without an attorney seeking justice. These folks need help to access our court system and to press their rights. That's why I've advocated for wayfinders, or what we call court navigators. This is equal access to justice, the third component of Access 3D. In a state as diverse and inclusive like California, we will always be working on access to justice. For example, a few years ago, we decided to study the need for language access in the courts. We issued a report, we made recommendations, and recently we implemented those recommendations thanks to the exceptional leadership of Supreme Court Justice Tino Cuellar. Now, Tino will tell you it's because of my outstanding task force committee, which is true. But thanks to their efforts and your funding, we now provide interpreters in critical civil cases like domestic violence, child custody, elder abuse, and evictions. We've expanded the use of multilingual signage in the courts, and we also now provide interpreters at service desks. Now, thank you. But as Justice Cuellar told us at Judicial Council just last week, we have much more work to do, but we are committed to doing that work. Every generation is responsible for creating democracy anew, a democracy that is relevant and responsive to the needs of that generation, one that expands upon and completes the previous work of the prior generation. In my view, the civil rights movement that began in the 50s remains unfinished. Daily we hear in the news about actions like hashtag Black Lives Matter, hashtag Me Too, hashtag Time's Up, just to name a few. Frederick Douglass said, where justice is denied, where poverty is enforced, where ignorance prevails, where any one class is made to feel that society is an organized conspiracy to oppress, rob, or degrade them, neither person nor property is safe. We in the judiciary recognize this, and we need to work on our own challenges. We must ensure that income inequality doesn't translate into a two-tier justice system. We must ensure that fines and fees no longer fall on those least able to afford them. We must ensure that minor traffic offenses don't turn poor drivers into poor criminals. We must ensure that we keep our workplaces safe and free from discrimination and harassment, and that we treat each other and the public we serve with respect. We meet our challenges in the judiciary by convening the most knowledgeable, deliberating the facts and the law, and then pursuing recommendations through all three branches of government, because we have learned, as Governor Newsom said in his State of the State, that we go far when we go together. So an example of this convening is we convened a work group to study the practices and reform of existing pretrial detention. And we asked this task force to come back with next steps to make this process fairer and safer. We thank Governor Newsom for his vision, his resolve, and his commitment to fairness and safety with his proposal of $75 million to the courts to develop, implement, and evaluate pretrial detention decision-making courts, 8 to 10 courts in all. We are grateful, and I'm thankful that I see one of our partners in this effort here today, the president of the Chief Probation Officers of California, Chief Stephanie James, the leader, her county, in pretrial detention reform. And we thank probation for their partnership and for helping us lead the way. We thank Chief James and San Joaquin County for their leadership efforts and for generously sharing their time and their knowledge with those who are willing and open to changing their practices. Another method of showing our way of convening is our work group on the prevention and discrimination of harassment and abuse. We have a work group that will come back to us in the summer with recommendations, we hope, Justice Hill, and Judge Boulware-Urey, to make our workplace safer, respectful, and better for all. Our administrative director, Martin Hoshino, has already acted in this regard. He has made unconscious bias training mandatory for all Judicial Council employees because he recognizes the science, as do I, that the formation of unconscious stereotypes can affect attitudes, actions, and beliefs in all encounters where we meet someone different from ourselves. I've asked Martin to review our statewide judicial educational curriculum to ensure that this kind of training is available for jurists, because I plan on taking the first class. In closing, I want to pay tribute to Women's History Month by noting that 100 years after giving us the right to vote, women in California have truly made their mark. Currently, our president pro tem is the first female to lead this august body. We have 36 female legislators. Down from our majority, but we still have 3 current female Supreme Court justices. Our lieutenant governor, our controller, our treasurer are all female. The last 3 female chiefs of staff to the governor were female. The current chief of staff to the governor is female. And our first partner is a filmmaker, writer, producer, director, and working mom.
often mention that Hamilton quote, that laws are a dead letter without the courts, but this time I'm going to end with Hamilton, an American musical, no singing. Hamilton's sister-in-law, Angelica Schuyler, says that she appreciates that the Declaration of Independence holds these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. But when she meets Thomas Jefferson, she's going to compel him to put women in the sequel. I submit to you that the 19th Amendment put us in the sequel, and now we're ready for the third installment. Thank you for listening.
Well, Chief Justice, thank you so much. You honor us with your presence here in the Senate chamber. On behalf of my colleague, Speaker Rendon, and I, we want to thank you for the address today. Thank you for being our guest today. Again, Governor, thank you. To the President of the Senate and the Lieutenant Governor, thank you. And to our incredible Controller, Betty Yee, thank you for being with us today. And I understand there's a reception at 4:30 at the Library and Courts Building across the street. And I'm assuming we're all invited since I just announced it to everyone here. But to the members of the judiciary and our legal community, I want to thank you for being our guest today. Have a wonderful day.